just to put this boat together and the brethren to move us. So this doesn't take away from the encouragement to draw near. So let's reconcile it. We are encouraged in Hebrews chapter 10 to have boldness to enter into the holiest of all. And if you think of prophets like Elijah that were type of Christ, or Joseph, he told his brethren, draw near unto me. So the Lord Jesus, in a very intimate way, he loves this nearness of each and every one of us. And just to give a practical lesson from the New Testament, John leaned upon his bosom. You cannot be nearer than leaning upon his bosom. But the distance is not by no means, as the brethren said, so now, you know, there is this wall, I cannot. No, there is the nearness that Christ loves. But when it comes to that distance, you always, as the brethren have mentioned, even in light of New Testament, I said we spoke a little bit yesterday, there was darkness, or the Lord Jesus at Gethsemane withdrew himself, a stone's cast. There is no way, because we're entering into the thought of death, that you and I can take it very lightly and enter into what Christ has endured from God. That's one thing. The second thing, I like the thought of preeminence. And just to use a scripture, in John chapter 20, so that we can protect against what Chuck have told us, my brother, my this, my that, we lose respect, we become so casual. Sometimes we become so casual, not only by words, but by the way we come, by the way we address him, by the way we behave, like we think, oh, you know, he's not ashamed to call us brethren, but it doesn't give me the right to lose the respect and the reverence and call him in a way that as if I'm talking to Tony, hey buddy, what's going on? It is not so. And remember what he said, go tell my brethren, what? There's always a distance in his preeminence and his dearness and the delight to the heart of God. I go where? Where did he say? You remember? I go up to my father and your father, not our father. You see, there's always that 2,000 cubit. He's unique. He's unique that he remains unique, and we have to keep that uniqueness and the preeminence. But he also loves the intimacy with each and every one. So I go to my father and your father, to my God and your God. And that's the 2,000 cubit feet that we need to keep there. But just a quick word about the baptism, because how do I become true to my baptism? We said, like a lot of you have been baptized and you are living and you see the features of the world. When it comes to the thought of baptism in the Christian, it's something that you reckon. It is not an actual work. I mean, you're still breathing. Sometimes when we used to baptize young ones, and, you know, if somebody is older, they say, well, I'm going to keep you under the water until... But it is that's the thought. The thought is that you have been submerged underwater. You went through death. But I want to bring the Red Sea and the Jordan together. We have heard the brothers explaining to us that Christ died and I have died in him. That truth is true in both cases. And I want to explain it how it is in both cases. But what's the difference? When they crossed the Red Sea, they were baptized unto Moses, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So he walked, he was type of Christ as well. The ark is a type of Christ, Moses is a type of Christ. So now when he crossed, we crossed with him. It's not like we didn't go through that process of the Red Sea. We went through it. But baptism, when I go through baptism, it delivers me from something called the world. I am crucified to the world. That the world, I have to reckon myself that I am dead to the world of Pharaoh. So now they are coming out and they are going through that process again. But who's in front of them? The ark. Still a type of Christ. And who's going after the ark? Is you and I. So baptism has these two aspects. God delivers me in Romans chapter 6. You had in mind to bring it. It brings me out in death when I reckon myself dead. That I'm saying the world is dead to me as well. But at the same time, God has a different world. He's not telling me reckon yourself dead and stay dead, you know. But he says he'll bring us into the newness of life. So that's baptism. The newness of life is that now I am dead And then I enter into something that is the world of Christianity, and it is in the newness of life. There's a new head. There's a new order of things. There's a new ground. And that's why the third day, there's a resurrection ground that the Lord Jesus wants me to enjoy it practically as I reckon myself dead in baptism.
Speaking about that...
Hold on 1 second. Okay.
Speaking about baptism, baptism is basically just for the world to know that you died from the world and you rose up again with Christ, right? So this, you don't change once you get baptized. You change once you get saved.
So it's good to reconcile what Brother John has been saying. So, there's that aspect of the what I'm declaring that the world is to see, right? But the very first thing we want us to appreciate is that I understand that Christ has died. And you will remember that the people said, "Give us Barabbas. We'll not have this man to reign over us," right? So they crucified the Lord Jesus because they didn't want him to be their leader. Well, he's in death. We are saying the Lord Jesus is my deliverer. He's my leader. And as the world has crucified him and put him out, I'm saying I want to be out where he is too. Right? I'm going there. So from that standpoint, I'm making a declaration to the Lord, as you have died, I have my place with you in death. And we're going to come to this in the Jordan. To the world also, we're making a statement. You know, remember old Yusuf? Remember old Tony? I'm dead. Right? I'm after a new order, new creation, a new master. And it should be evident to my friends, my family, to my community, that I'm dead. But how is it that a dead man and a dead young lady are still walking around plugged into the world that we have said, listen, I'm dead? You ever go to a funeral and put up some music and the saints are singing and the folks are weeping? You ever see that dead person get up and say anything? And so the challenge to us is this: if we have died with Christ, and we say that we've gone out of this world, though we are alive and we're moving, as Brother John says, Romans 8 says, to reckon yourselves as dead. Count it as so, so that the world sees that we're done with it.
I think the thing that has helped me the clearest are the words of Mr. Darby. Baptism is my going into death in a figure. I don't literally die. This is what our brother John just said to us. I don't literally die. I figuratively go into death with Christ. And that's why I say I don't personally see baptism as an outward sign of an inward change. There's a lot of folks that teach that. I think that I, as a Christian, recognize my death with Christ when I was baptized, and then what follows after that. But I think we'd do well to go on down to the Jordan here, unless I'm cutting a comment off. Go ahead.
Just one word on that. Identification.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay? When we think of baptism, think of identification. Christ took my place. I identify with him in death. It's what I deserved.
So may I give something to make it very simple? What we do in baptism, that what God has purposed, our position, dead in Christ, we have to act on it practically. It's like when we break bread. So that loaf speaks of what? Not only the body given, but also speaks of the whole body of Christ. So what we are doing, acting in a practical way, what God has brought us into a positional way. What God has purposed, and that's true of every believer in Christ, that God sees us. You and I do it in an act of a practical way here in this scene until we are reached, home to glory. So go ahead, Chuck.